Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel led to do this, so I want to send the word to Wendy Cooper. The doctors are speaking cancer back into her body, and we want to take authority over that because she was healed from cancer, and she's been cancer-free for years, and all of a sudden now they're trying to speak it back. So let's send the word to Wendy right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we send the word to Wendy Cooper this morning, Father God. We bind every weapon the enemy is trying to bring in and trying to deliver to her and her mind right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, I bind cancer. It's been bound. It's been cursed. It's been loosed from her body, Father God. And I thank you that she's healthy, Father God. I speak strength to her body in Jesus' name. Your touch with this feeling of her infirmity and with your stripes, she has been made whole. So we declare and we decree her cancer free in Jesus' name. Now we speak to this fluid buildup, Father God. And we speak to this fluid buildup and we call it to dissipate in Jesus' name. Dissolve and leave in the name of Jesus and carry out whatever is in there. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today, I've been battling with the Lord. You ever battle with the Lord? He gave me a word, and I've been battling with it because I didn't want to bring it, okay? And he won't let me lay it down. So first off, I'm going to build a little foundation for where we're going today. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 first. Am I tucked in what? Verse number 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Lord is saying this. He says, the word that's been spoken, the spoken word of God, it either has been fulfilled or it will be fulfilled. There is not one word that will fall that will not be accomplished and done. Amen? In other words, so turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 for a moment. Revelation 2. Jesus is speaking to the church of Thyatira and verse number 18. How many know that when Jesus is speaking to the church, he's speaking to the church? He's speaking to you and I, the body of Christ. And he says unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who have his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and the charity and your service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication or to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and give unto every man of every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. And he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter shall be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And what the Lord is saying, he's not talking about Jezebel that was back with Elijah. He's talking about a Jezebel spirit. He's talking about a lying spirit. He's talking about the deceiving spirit. God has not changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And this deception is, I believe in my heart, is we're going to become the world to reach the world, and that's the lie of Satan. God has called us out of the world. I'm a heavenite living on earth. You're a heavenite. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. So when he was speaking to me about this, he was saying, okay, there's, you know, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 5, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, even as by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. There's obedience and disobedience. God wants us to understand the differences between right and wrong. Amen? So we're going to go to Jeremiah. And the reason I'm going to Jeremiah is because Jesus was affirming what Jeremiah prophesied years and years before Jesus ever spoke. Amen? In other words, he is saying what he was saying. So turn me to Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse number 7 is where we'll begin to read. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The title of this message this morning, There Is No Secret. How about that song, Barbara Judy?
There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Hallelujah. I love it because when they sing, it makes it easier to preach. There is no secret. And the three things I want to share with you this morning out of this text is he searches, he tries, and he rewards. Amen? He searches, he tries, he rewards. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration together in the house today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear your word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do. Now, Father, I pray that you speak to me, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers in the room. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that your word, as we have spoken, will not return void. It'll accomplish what you're sending to do to this house and this house today. And I'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's for me, just let them know I'm preaching. I can't take it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, it's somebody calling me, actually. Oops. it's kind of interesting that I was given this iPod, and it's not supposed to be a phone, it's supposed to be an iPod, but this iPod works as a phone. and so somebody was just calling me, but I'll get it after the service. But they were calling me on my iPod, okay? My iPhone is turned off, and it's where my wife is. Where is she? Hallelujah. Man, I missed. There she is. Hallelujah. You know, the first thing I want to talk to you about, the Lord is really speaking to my heart, and he was really speaking to my heart about that we're in the last days. And he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And he was showing me that his body, his church, is becoming the world to try to reach the world, and it's a deception, it's a lie. We're not of this world. God's called us out of this world. Amen. And in other words, God's grace is abounding. God's grace. Come out on Wednesday night. We're teaching about how God's grace helps you grow. Amen. And God's grace is abounding and abounding. But God says it's only the truth that sets men and women free. In other words, deception will not set anyone free. Amen. So first we're looking at, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. He's looking at the inner core. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks upon our hearts. So look with me in Jeremiah 23. This Jezebel spirit that was in Thyatira was watering down the word. Amen. So it didn't have an effect. It didn't have any power. A lie will never change anyone. Deception will never change anyone. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 23, verse 24. He says, can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name in Baal, for Baal. The prophet that have a dream, let him tell the dream, and he that have my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Amen. This is the word of Jeremiah that was spoken. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's so many people that are saying what man says and not what God says. Everybody is repeating their neighbor. I heard the Lord said, and the Lord never said that to them. They heard somebody else say that somebody, they heard someone else say that they heard someone else say that they heard someone else say, and the word gets twisted. Not that the prophet didn't speak the word truthfully the first time, but when it's repeated, it's added to or taken away from. Amen. In other words, God's got some mighty prophets in this land. So don't mistake that. There's some prophets in the land. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The fivefold ministry is in effect all around the world. And it isn't the prophesied word. It's the ones that are copying it and repeating it and changing it. In other words, once that word is changed, it becomes no life in it. Amen? It becomes deception. That's why he says in Psalms 139, Psalms 139, turn my Bible. Hallelujah. The psalmist said this, "Search me, O God, and know me, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." In other words, you know, we talked about it. We just sang about being in the presence of the Father. I want you to understand the presence of the Father is a consuming fire. And the presence of the Father, he consumes all chaff. He consumes those things. He burns up those things. And as we're in the presence of the Lord and we're speaking in God's presence, in God's word, we want to allow the Spirit of God to burn up those things that aren't pleasing to the Father. In other words, the worst thing that could happen to us is to come into the house of God, hear the word of God, and not allow that word to transform our lives. Not allow that word to change us. Amen. And nobody has arrived. We're all on a journey. Amen. We're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen. God's transforming us. He's renewing our mind. He's got us on the right path. Amen. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 25, Solomon said, "I plied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of the foolish, even of foolishness and madness." In other words, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, we get wisdom. With our wisdom, we get understanding. And others understand this, amen, that we're children of the living God, and he's called us, amen. He called us to be holy as he is holy, amen. I don't know about you, but there's some work that needs to be done in my life. I haven't arrived. That's why I was talking about the Lord. I said, "Lord, man, I ain't ready to preach this. Lord, nobody wants to hear this. They want me to tell them how good they are. They want me to tell them how great they are. They want me to tell them all those things that be the glory and the lifter of their heads to encourage them so they can jump up and down. But God says, once they get the true word, then they can really jump up and down. Then they can really celebrate. Then they can really be happy. Then they can really live the life that I called them to live." Amen. Let me say something to you. I can't do it, but I can do it through him. Hallelujah. It's dependent on where my trust is. If I'm trusting myself, I'm a mess. Amen. I'm a mess. I'm trusting in the one that's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm trusting in the one that one time says I was not, one time not a people, but now I'm the people of God. I'm trusting in the one that said at one time I hadn't obtained mercy, but now I've obtained mercy. Hallelujah. It's his mercy and his grace. And God isn't here today. Let me say this to you. God didn't call me to preach at anybody. God says that his word is love. God is love. And it's all in the way that we receive the word. If you receive it in love, if you saw your children doing something that was harming them, would you in love try to warn them to keep them from keep on doing the same thing that's going to bring destruction? In other words, when the Father is speaking his word, it's in love. Amen? Love is what covers and hides a multitude of sins, right? He says in his word in Acts chapter 11. Hallelujah. You know, Barnabas is coming to Antioch. And when Barnabas comes to Antioch in verse number 23, he says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, in verse number 23, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Amen. In other words, if you're cleaving a hold of something, what are you doing? You're grasping it. You're taking it. And the Lord, if the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That the Word, when I'm grasping Him, I'm grasping the Word. This is where my life is. This is where my abundance comes. Amen. And God wants you to hear something today. God wants you to hear something today because there's confusion in the body of Christ. And the confusion in the body of Christ, we feel because we're in Christ, we shouldn't go through nothing. That's a deception from the adversary. That's a lie from the enemy. He is lying to you. God never told you you would not go through anything. God never told you you wouldn't face storms. God never told you you wouldn't face trials. God never told you you wouldn't face tests. But he said to you and I that we would never be alone. Amen. That he was always there. His shield covers us. He watches over us. He keeps us. Amen. He says, when Paul went to Antioch in Acts chapter 14, verse number 22, he says he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know, if you believe that we don't have adversity, you're fooling yourself. Amen? Just as much as God loves you and has a plan in your life, the devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to steal everything that God has in store for you and I. That's why he said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. Listen to me. I titled this, There's No Secret, because he ain't hiding from him anyway, so you might as well confess it. Unconfessed is possessed. Amen? Okay. Psalm chapter 17. He said, I not only search the heart, but I try the reins. I try the reins. That word reins comes from the Hebrew word kilya. It's spelled K-I-L-Y-A. And that word means the mind. The mind, okay? The psalmist says in Psalm 17, verse 3, Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Your heart doesn't speak out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. The mouth doesn't speak out of the heart. It speaks from your mind. Your heart doesn't have a voice. Your heart doesn't make your voice. So your heart controls your mind. Your mind controls your voice. So out of the abundance of my heart, when my heart is right with the Lord, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth and my mind's aligning with the word, and then all of a sudden I'm speaking. In other words, the Lord says he's trying our mind. You know, in other words, you know, sometimes we gotta get rid of our stinking thinking. Hello? Hello? You know, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof, we have to let our heart that God searches be renewed and refreshed. Then our mind and our thinking changes, where I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind is renewed. You know, when I was a sailor, I cursed like a sailor. but when I took on Jesus Christ, I put away foolish things. I'm not a sailor anymore. I'm a saint. You're a saint. If you're a child of God. Amen. And what he is saying to us, our mind should be aligned with the Word of God. If our Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 12. You know, with this here today, I don't have to worry. It's not my responsibility. The Lord told me to do it, so I'm just doing what he says, and it's on him. Hallelujah. Because everyone in the room knows that I love you. Everyone in the room knows I'm not here to judge anybody. I live in a glass house. I don't throw rocks. Amen. Just because you sin differently than I sin. Amen. I don't purposely sin. Don't get me wrong. I don't blatantly sin. But at times I goof up just like everyone else. Hopefully it is not as often as it used to be. Because I have a wife that prays for me. Amen. But Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, when my thought life aligns with the word, my mouth will speak according to God's word. Amen? And all we're doing is we're aligning ourselves up. Hey, we were at this place, and he found us, and he turned our lives around, and now we're walking towards him. And as we learn and as we grow, we become in the image of Christ. Amen? We become the image of Christ. We'll never be Christ. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus. And that mentality that there's little Jesuses all around the world is a lie and a deception too. I'm not a little Jesus. I'm Carl Sly that has Jesus in me, okay? And I have the power of the Holy Ghost in me. And you have the power of the Holy Ghost in you. And you're not a little Jesus. You're a little Carl or a little Dusty or a little Jan. But let's not get confused, amen? This Jesus movement is a little deceiving too. Hello? Amen? That we're Jesus. No, we're not. There's only one Father. There's only one Son. There's only one Holy Ghost. But there's many children that have been called into his family. I'm a child and you're a child of the living God. Amen. He claims you as his own. I don't know about you. When my son did things I didn't like, I didn't change him as he was my son. Amen. And when he was at age, when I could correct him, I corrected him. Okay. I'm not going to go there. Turn me to James. James chapter 1. Another deception. Verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now he says this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. By the word of truth. We've been begat, we've been born by the word of God. And what he is saying to you, that little foxy woman that came in front of you, young men, That little foxy woman that came in front of you, God didn't send that foxy woman in front of you. The devil sent the foxy woman in front of you to try to tempt you, to try to sway you. God isn't tempting you with evil. God doesn't tempt any man with evil. But when we're tempted by something that's within us. There's something that's still in us. There's a seed in us that has to die. Because, in other words, if the Bible says, if any man follow me, take up his cross and follow me. In other words, if I died to self, I'm not going to let my eyes wander anymore. Amen? In other words, with me, God gave me a perfect woman. A perfect woman. He gave me this, the right one for me. And there's not another woman in this world that could measure up to her as far as being someone for me. That's my woman. I love her. And you know something? We've been married for 40 years, and she looks better than she did when I first married her. Yeah. Amen. 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 You know what it is? It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. That's why the adversary wants to steal what God has given you. He kind of comes in and confuses what God has ordained. And when he confuses what God has ordained, all of a sudden then our minds start wandering. And we ended up places that we had no business being. Hey, the devil will take you further than you ever want to go. Keep you longer than you ever want to stay, and cost you more than you were ever willing to pay. Right. Amen. God's here to bring life to this house. Amen. He brings life by his word. This isn't a dead book. This book is alive. Amen. It's alive. And I'm telling you, when you read this book, you ought to read this book as it's alive. Amen. And you ought to let the life that's in this book, God, and I'm not talking about the book. This is just a book. I'm talking about the word that's in the book. Allow that word in that book to get inside of you and bring life inside. I could preach at you all day long, but unless you let that word get inside of you and bring life, nothing will transform and nothing will change. Amen. So he's saying to you and I, hey, he searches the heart. Amen. He tries the reins to give every man according to his ways. In other words, he also rewards. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Verse number 27. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now let's understand with me. Works doesn't save us. For by grace we're saved by faith. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. But the word of God says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, God looks at what we're doing. He's looking at our actions. You know that our actions are speaking louder than our words. Hello? When people are watching you, they're not watching your words. They're watching your actions, how you respond. What do you do in the midst of adversity? And when the Lord is speaking and Jesus is speaking, understand with me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now again, I'm looking at this holy fire, this consuming fire. I'm looking at God. And I'm looking at standing in his presence and the presence of his glory. And all of a sudden, like when he speaks, it's the sound of many waters. I mean, you know, his voice fills the whole atmosphere. Okay? And the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body, according that he have done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give account after I was in Christ when he said don't and I did. Hello? I'm not losing my salvation, but I'm going to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to give an account, and I'm standing before a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. He wants us to understand that he's not playing games, that he's real, that this is real. And if we believe it enough to be here on Sunday, we ought to believe it enough to allow God to transform and change our lives and follow his word as to our best of our ability. In other words, God is loving on us, and his mercy and grace is still flowing towards us. Amen. But there's a time when the bell rings, school's out. Then you got the test. Hello? He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. I don't believe the Father was just speaking because he didn't have anything else to do. He said, I need to fill this book. I don't have pages in my book, but I got to get 2,500 pages. And so let's fill another page with some words, you know. The Lord isn't speaking just for the sake of speaking. The Apostle Paul, and these letters are written to the church. They're not written to the world. They're written to the body of Christ. Amen? And as Apostle Peter's writing, he says in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all matter of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth every man according to every man's work, pass this time of your sojourning here in fear. And he's not telling them to be afraid. He's telling us to have reverence. Faith is putting the word to practice in our hearts and lives. And basically it's saying, Lord, I can't do it with my strength. There's no way that I can do it. I need your help. I need your help. And that's why he gave you and I a helper. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us a helper to help us. You know, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness if we rely on his strength. And most of the time, if we're relying on our own strength, we get beaten up and we get defeated. So in closing, everybody say, phew. that he gives to every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, Galatians 6:7 makes it just as perfect as it can be. He says it just so simple. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, it's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. So in closing today, in James chapter 5, verse number 16, the Word of God says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible says, confess your faults. And the Lord gave me instructions, so I'm just going to follow what the Lord said. He said, confess your faults. Well, I'm here before you, I'm going to confess some faults. It's my fault that your marriage is on the rocks. It's my fault that you're sick in body. It's my fault that your finances aren't working right. It's my fault that your family is in disarray. You say, well, Pastor, how could that be your fault? Well, it really isn't. But Jesus said it isn't his fault either. It's not his fault either. The things that are taking place in your life are the things that you sowed seeds, and there's harvest that came. God's moving things and swinging things and shifting things around us. And what the Father was saying to me is, hey, he said to me, he says, let your yeas be yea, and let your nays be nay. But when you get in a situation, when you need something, and all of a sudden you start making promises to God, you better follow through with the promises that you made. God said he's not a man. All the promises of him are yes and amen. In other words, if I vow a vow, God wants me to keep my vow. That's why he says it's better if you just say yes or no. You know, and what God is saying is it's not his blame. So in other words, what the Lord is saying to us today is a little different. It's a little different. This is a little different. This is the type of message I like to preach. But what God is saying to us today is stop blaming God. He's where our answer is. He's where our healing is. He's where our supply is. He's where our peace is. He's where our joy is. He's where all those things come. Don't blame God. If you're going to blame anyone, blame the adversary. You see, Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent didn't have anyone to blame. Hello? Sometimes it's better off just to say, I was wrong. Just to say, I was wrong. That's all God's asking you to do. That's all he's asking you to do. He's not asking you to come and beg him for anything. He didn't call you to be a beggar. He called you to be his child. And as a child, you just have to admit, Daddy, I was wrong. Is that so hard? Is that too hard to do? And what God says today, he wanted me to open up the altars and let's just come to the altar and just let him have our way. Have his way with us. Not our way, but his way. Would you come? I know that there's something that we can lay down at the altar today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I normally don't have altar calls, church. God wants to do something in hearts and lives today. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith.